Support for NPR comes from Start.wiki. If you're trying to keep employees on the same page, use a company wiki. A wiki acts as a single portal for internal information. Any employee can create and edit pages, fostering communication and transparency. And while it won't do anything to help the chow mein that Phil left in the company refrigerator a month ago, a company wiki will result in a collaborative workspace unique to your needs. And it's a low monthly cost regardless of company size. Launch your wiki today at www.start.wiki. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Lexicology Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we are.
Are
we? I absolutely love it. This is, of course, all stolen. We never think of anything. Here
well,
it is.
That's not true. You think of stealing it.
I think of stealing it, right. Every year, the Washington Post has a style invitational and asks readers to take a word from the dictionary, change it by adding, subtracting, or changing one letter. And then supply a new definition. You
know
what
I mean?
Okay. For example, I'll give you an intoxication, you change to intaxication. And the definition is euphoria at getting a tax refund which lasts until you realize it was your money to start with.
I love it.
How about this? You take sarcasm. You add an H, so it's S-A-R-C-H.
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm, same word. The gulf between the author of sarcastic wit and the person who doesn't get it.
That's very good.
Man, these are so clever. So I wish I was smart enough.
Yeah, why aren't you? What's wrong, man?
Carmageddon. It's like when everybody's sending off all those really, really bad vibes, you know, and then, like, the earth explodes and it's like a serious bummer. And my first personal favorite, which happens to be the last one here, the Doppler effect. The tendency of stupid ideas to seem smarter when they come at you rapidly. This is great, man.
I like the Doppler effect.
Who came up with this? The Washington Post.
The readers of the Washington Post.
But the idea to do it came from the Washington. Maybe it came from a reader as well.
Well, and the idea to steal it, I think, was just as
profound. Oh, I think it was just as good.
Well, anyway.
There's another one here which I can't read on the air, but it's really the best one. I'll give you a hint. It starts from the word ignoramus. You got it?
Got it. And I know which letter that is. Well, anyway, if you've got some words for us that we could use on the air, then give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andrew from Tucson. How you doing?
Good.
Andrew, we're doing great.
Tucson, Tucson, Arizona.
That's the place.
That's the place. What's up?
I've got an 86 Celica with a overheating problem that I just can't figure out.
Well, you know, I got a 63 Dodge Dart with an overheating problem that I can't figure out.
Yeah?
Solved it by buying a Fiat, which is now his summer car.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, what's yours? Maybe if we can figure yours out, give me some clues as to mine.
Well, let's hope. Okay, when I go out driving on long drives, short drives, no problem. Long drives, couple of hours, like heading up to Phoenix. Engine over, the engine slowly heats up until finally, you know, my temperature gauge is just spiking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I pull over, turn off the car, open the hood, and the engine doesn't feel hot. I mean, I can touch the radiator hoses with my bare hands. It's not that hot. I've changed the water pump. I flushed the radiator. I changed the temperature gauge sender.
Oh, you did, huh?
I changed the thermostat to the lowest temperature thermostat I could get, which was a 180.
Yeah.
And it still does it.
Yeah, I've done all those things on my Dart.
No luck?
No luck.
Ah.
I was sure that I would be able to fix it. In fact, just this morning, as I was driving to the studio, I pulled over, took off my shoe, and whacked the thermostat bowl. And I thought for sure that when I did that, that dial was going to come right down.
I don't think you should be telling anyone.
So should I carry a shoe with me? I mean, just...
Well, I tell you, it didn't work for me. It did not work.
Well, what I think it is, I mean,
I know what your problem is, Andrew. I know his problem. It's mine that I can't figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your problem is that in spite of your flushing out of the radiator, you feel
you need a radiator.
You fail to remove enough of the crud that's in there.
You
have crud accretion.
Radiator crud.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to get that out is to either throw the radiator in the trash and put a new one in, or send it out to a shop and have them acid bathe it.
Acid bathe it.
Because when they do that, all that will come back is the radiator frame.
Right.
The entire core of the radiator.
All the core will just deteriorate. Fall apart.
Now, what they can do with the radiator shop is they can flow test it. And when they do that, they're going to tell you, Andrew, this radiator is plugged up, and for $300, we'll sell you a new one.
Okay, new radiator.
Yep.
Yeah, before you blow a head gasket.
Okay, so, all right, well, give it a shot.
Give it a shot, but don't be angry if it doesn't work.
Okay.
We're just doing our best. See you, Andrew.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Bye.
Right, thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
So long. Is that good enough? I mean, if you tell him that, don't get angry with us because we're doing our best.
I mean, we're always doing our best.
That's good.
I mean, there's nothing malicious or purposely harmful in our advice to him. It deceptive might have just been ignorance.
We certainly weren't trying to trick him.
No,
we weren't going to make any money out of this deal. We had nothing to gain by giving him the wrong answer.
No, unless our shares of Modine radiator stock go up. But who knows?
If that happens, it happens.
It happens. I mean, it would just be luck. If you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is June from Montgomery Village, Maryland.
Hi, June. Montgomery. I don't meet too many people named June anymore. June's a nice name.
Thank you.
So what's up, June?
Junie?
what do they call you? June. There's hardly any way you can mess around with that.
I get called June Bug sometimes.
Okay, June Bug, what's up?
Okay, my very good friend is a single parent, and his oldest son just turned 16. So my Christmas present to both of them was, I will be the one taking Micah out to learn how to drive. Mm. Except I don't have a clue as to where to start.
Man.
Other than I know how to drive.
Yeah. Got an hour?
Or $29.95 for our videotape? Yeah.
Jeez, what advice can we give you? Well, I can tell you what I did.
Okay.
Because I have a now 17-year-old daughter, who at the time was 16.
Like a year ago?
This be like a year ago.
Yeah.
So I have some relatively recent information about a recollection of what I did. One day, I mean, the day she turned 16, she said, teach me to drive. And I actually took her to an empty parking lot, big empty parking lot of a local college around here. And I put her in the driver's seat, and I explained to her brake pedal, gas pedal, emergency brake, steering, blah, 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 blah. And what I said to her was, take off the handbrake, put it into drive, and...
Oh, did you take off the blindfold, too?
Step on the gas and just go 10 feet and stop. And she did that. And, of course, she jerked on the stop and jerked on the start, and she stopped. I said, okay, do it again. So we did this 5 or 6 times until she got the feel for starting off smoothly and stopping smoothly. Then, little by little, we graduated to driving the whole length of the parking lot, which, interestingly, was separated down the middle with some kind of a barrier so that we could actually drive up one side and down the other in a great big oval.
Mm.
And the first time she had to make the turn, of course, she practically crashed into things, but she didn't. And so we did that every Sunday for about a month.
Well, this will explain why we didn't see you guys for a long time.
And then one day we got to the parking lot and there were cars there, which was great because now she had some sense of how to do it and she could now try to avoid cars.
Right.
Which she
did for the most
managed
part.
To do for the for the most part. And so we played around with that for a while. And all of this now is in an empty parking lot, pretty much empty. And we did a little
and
bit.
And she's 19 by now, too.
And we did that for quite a long time before I took her on the road. And when I took her on the road, I'm trying to think of, I drove out to the suburbs where there was not much traffic.
The birds were chirping.
The birds were chirping, exactly. In fact, I took her to the town where my brother lives.
See if you can sideswipe Uncle Ramey's car.
All those cars that are parked in front of Uncle Ramey's house. And then little by little, I mean, we graduated, you know, from streets with no cars to streets with a couple of cars. And there were some scary moments.
But it would be helpful for you, June, to get that same book. What's his name, this boy?
Micah.
Whatever that book that he's going to learn from, so you can reacquaint yourself with the rules so you don't teach him anything that's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the biggest issue because...
Yeah, for example, you might tell him, oh, yeah, you can trail right behind these fire trucks. It doesn't make any difference how close you get to them. If you do, you'll get to your destination faster.
And you have the ideal opportunity when you buy the little book. When you get the little book, you can give a copy of him, and right in the front of it, you can write for Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And you don't get an opportunity to do that very often.
No, you certainly don't. He's been waiting for 10 minutes. Well, 8 minutes anyway.
I have, yeah. I'll admit it. I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was my experience. I don't know if that's helpful.
And if nothing else, June, it will make you a much better driver.
It will, because they keep asking, is it okay to do that? And you better know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess our word of advice would be go slowly.
Okay.
But you can do it, June. I mean, you've stuck your neck out now.
And it's probably a good thing because, I mean, I don't know why your good friend doesn't want to do it himself.
Oh, there are lots of reasons not to teach your own kids.
Well, actually, it was my idea because I remember how much fun it is having your own parent teaching you how to drive.
Yes, it's joyful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, see, I took a very different approach. I gave my each of my sons, when the time came, $500, and I sent them to Punjabi driving school. It seems like a lot of the driving schools in our city are run by Indian people, and they did a wonderful job.
You know why? Because they're slow and patient.
Yes.
Well, I'm my daughter's parent, and I taught her, and
we rest our case.
I thought we bonded beautifully.
Yeah. And now why does she make the thing, the cross there?
she sees me.
June, good luck. It will take patience, but I'm sure you have it.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ali from Anchorage, Alaska.
Ali? How do you spell that?
A-L-I.
A-L-I. Ali.
Ali.
Yeah.
From Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Ali.
Anchorage.
Ali from Anchorage.
What's going on, Ali?
I have a 1980 Subaru GL, and I have
80?
A million miles?
No, it's got 106,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, because where can you go in Anchorage?
what do they do, helicopter that thing in for you?
And my problem is I've got two broken inner CV boots, and the mechanics, of course, want to change it, but changing both of the CV joints is going to cost me half the value of the car.
Oh, you don't want to change the joints.
Well, it's the boots or the joints that's the problem.
Well, the boots are torn, and they've been torn wide open for the past 4,000 miles. And I've been able to drive it just fine, no noises or anything.
So the mechanic wants to replace the boots.
Well, they want to replace the joints and the axles because they say it's already been contaminated. Because I go serious off-road in this little Subaru. My question to you guys is, how long can I run this before the whole front end is going
to
drop out?
Well, let's look at it this way. What do they want? Like $600 or $700 to do this?
$440.
$440.
And I only paid $800 for the whole car.
Did you tell them that?
Well, yeah, they know that.
It doesn't matter.
I bought it from their mechanic.
How long have you had it?
I've had it for the past 8 months, for the past 6,000 miles.
Oh. I would say do nothing. Duct tape.
They're predicting some kind of catastrophic failure.
Well, yeah. My brother thinks you should get one of those. Go to the, you have a CVS up there in Anchorage?
No, no CVS.
And get one of those giant economy-sized jars of Vaseline.
Yeah.
And stuff that stuff into the joints every morning before you drive it.
Right.
Put a good handful of Vaseline.
Right. And tape up the boots.
But I tell you, those inner joints are almost indestructible.
Really?
I mean, you're doing your best to kill them, but they're almost indestructible.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty tough. And I would go ahead, have somebody take the axles out. It's pretty easy to take them out of a Subaru. Clean all the old grease out.
Mm-hmm.
Put new grease in there. Put two new boots on, and you're good for another 100,000.
Excellent. I'm going to run this thing into the ground before the CV joints go back.
Yeah, and by then your sentence may be over. I mean,
you may get out by then.
What are you doing up there anyway?
Midlife crisis. I left my engineering job in Washington, D.C., rode my Harley cross-country, and ended up in Alaska.
Really?
Ended up in San Diego?
What,
Alaska?
What were you thinking?
Well, you made one wrong turn, man. You took a right instead of a left.
I went a right through Canada.
Yeah, well,
so you've been there for 8 months.
I've been here for 8 months.
And how are you doing?
It's fantastic here.
And what are you doing? You're obviously not doing engineering.
I'm doing the same thing. I tried to make a career change. It didn't work. And I'm back to mechanical engineering.
Well, that's good. So now instead of having a nice apartment and nice weather, you're up there living in an igloo, freezing your butt off.
And doing the same stupid job that you hated.
Yeah. Good move, Ollie.
That you were running away from.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, and pretty soon you'll come to your senses and come back. But in the meantime, have the boots replaced, and you'll be fine.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you later.
Have a good one.
Bye. All right, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll give you a clue. It has to do with a baseball team in Pittsburgh.
Of course. It had to do... Why do Pirates wear a patch over their eye?
Holy...
That's it! Isn't it? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I'll let you in on a little secret. I didn't remember what it was. I said, baseball team in Pittsburgh. The hell was the puzzle last week? Well, sit tight. We'll be back in a minute.
You don't remember the drive-in, because you're too young to know. But if we had a drive-in, baby, that's where we would go. You see, I remember the drive-in, the joy it brought this kid. So when my head's a-hurtin', the world feels so uncertain, I know the drive-in came before.
And even though Robert Siegel decides that carnival barking might not be so bad after all, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We want to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Travelzoo. Travelzoo is trusted by 27 million members worldwide for travel deals. I never use anyone else when I book my trip to the annual seat cover convention, airfares, hotels, vacations, cruises, and more. Travelzoo deal experts research, evaluate, and test thousands of deals. Sign up for free at travelzoo.com or get the highly rated Travelzoo app on your phone.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I remember it had the... Oh, that was the actual question, wasn't it?
That was the question. I mean, if you remember...
Pirates had
I started the thing off with the joke about the bird poop, how the guy lost his eye on the first day with me hook.
Yeah.
Right. And it basically, that was the question. If that's not the way pirates lost their eyesight...
Yeah, why do pirates always have so often have a patch?
Right, or even sailors. They don't have to be pirates, but sailors. Well,
sailors.
If you think about it for a minute, before there was inertial navigation and LORAN and all that geopositional satellites and all that, sailors of old used to navigate by the stars.
Yeah.
Right?
We knew that.
Except during the daytime, there ain't no stinking stars.
I've noticed that too.
And they used to use the sun.
Which is what? A star.
Which is a star. Yes, it is. It's the only star that's visible in the daytime.
Yeah.
And because they were using the sun to navigate and looking at the sun and getting angles of elevation, so to speak, with a sextant, they would burn out their retinas.
Really?
Yes. As we know, if you stare at the sun, what happens to your eyesight? It gets cooked.
So the way they navigated was to figure out how far above the horizon the sun is? That just tells you what time it is, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they didn't have timepieces.
Oh, so someone says, what time is it, matey?
And he say, let me burn my retina out.
Let me burn out my retina and I'll let you know. Or he says, you mean now? Yeah.
Come on, who's our winner? We're on a tight schedule.
Yeah, we got 3.5 hours to do. The winner is Cheryl Jovell. Jovell.
I like Jovell better.
Jovell.
Even though that's not the right pronunciation.
It probably isn't, but it has a nice ring to it. She's from Largo, Florida, which must be near the Key. Key, Largo.
Yeah, I wouldn't go jumping to any conclusions. No. You get us in trouble when you jump to conclusions.
And for having her correct answer chosen at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Cheryl is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that $26, she can pick up a copy of our CD of disrespectful car music, Car Talk cartoons, which you can keep in your car and then use for solace when you're waiting for a tow truck.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I believe, automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show.
Good.
So don't slam off the radio just yet. If you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-8227. I like these little bites, 82 and 55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm calling from Midland, Michigan.
Heidi, ho.
Yes, that would
What's
be me.
Up?
So I have a 1998 Volvo Cross Country, and it needs to have its belts changed, including the timing belt.
Yes, it does.
And this is why I'm calling, because my husband thinks that this is a job that he wants to undertake. And the problem that I have with this is that he is not a mechanic. He teaches tennis for a living. And English is like his fifth language. He's not originally from the United States. And he says that he has this book that all mechanics have. And he can just look at the book, and he'll be able to install the new timing belt, and everything will be perfect. But I have to say to him over and over again, but you don't like to read, especially in English. So we're having a kind of a family breakdown here, and I'm wondering if you could give me some advice on whether or not I should have let him change this timing belt in this car.
I think you should lock him in the cellar and take the thing to the Volvo dealer.
Well, he seems to think that he can do it. He's been piddling around with cars, you know.
What has he ever done before?
Well, we did have a 1989 Honda Accord, and he did try to change the timing belt on that, but it was a disaster because he couldn't get this bolt off that he needed to get off to do it.
Right.
So he ended up having to have it towed to a garage where they could get the bolt off and replace the belt.
Oh, and they did it.
Yes, they actually did it. But his friend has a BMW, and they replaced the timing belt in that car together. So he seems, I don't know, he's done brakes before.
He didn't get very far on the Honda, because taking that bolt off is the equivalent of, like, let's say you're going to run a marathon and you couldn't tie your sneakers. So that's what he got stymied right there.
Okay.
So the friend with whom he did the timing belt on the friend's car.
Yes.
Is that person able to help him on this job?
Yes. He will help him, but he's not a mechanic either. He teaches figure skating for a living. So
figure skating and tennis.
Yeah.
What are you guys living in? Like, what are you living in? Disney World? Does anyone work out there in Midland?
I guess it might appear that way, but it's not really Disney World at all. So,
jeez. Yeah. I'd say you're not going to be able to stop him.
Okay.
No.
It might cost you a car.
But that's what I wondered, because I thought the timing belt was kind of important. And if you put it in wrong, what would happen?
Oh, that would be bad.
On this car, it's a disaster.
Okay.
And if you put it in wrong, or worse than that, if it jumps.
Yeah.
You could put it in correctly, and then you do something wrong, and it jumps a couple of teeth.
Okay.
That can be disastrous, too. And the disaster is that it bends the valves. To the tune of a couple of $1,000.
Holy come on. Okay.
Or if you're lucky, the valve goes right through the piston.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So let's say that I can't convince him and I don't file.
Then you're going to have to lock him in the cellar. And there's no other way.
Well, what is there anything that I should look for, or will he know when he starts the car? Wait,
does he have a lot of time on his hands? Is that it?
No.
Is he bored with his marriage?
Isn't this tennis season now? I mean, come on, can you sign up? Can we sign up for lessons?
You mean you can't distract him enough?
Give me some ideas.
I don't think we should have to give you ideas.
He's into the car. He's into the car. He thinks he can do it. I don't know.
I mean, this is an important thing, you know?
All right. I'll do my best.
By the way, just to be serious for a minute.
Okay.
Don't let it go beyond the minute.
We recommend also at our shop that you replace the water pump when you do this.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, maybe that will be enough to put him over the edge.
Okay.
And the water pump is hard to do because there's not much room to maneuver that thing in and out of there.
That's going to be my leverage.
And then he's going to bleed the system afterwards and tell him.
You know, I mean, I think it's admirable of him to want to do something like this on the car. But he chose a really bad thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, ordinarily we'd be with him, but it's
too hard. Too complicated, and the consequences of doing it wrong are enormous.
And the tennis thing. Does he string his own rackets?
I think maybe sometimes, but not very often. He knows how.
How many rackets does he have?
Oh, I don't know. Hundreds. He has a lot of rackets.
Cut them all.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Good luck, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Do whatever it takes.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2. See, some guys are just not. You can't discourage some guys.
No, you can't.
When we had the do-it-yourself shop,
oh,
it was I was amazed at the jobs that complete novices were willing to undertake.
Yeah.
It made no difference whatsoever how and even when we told them, oh, I mean, when we do these, we screw it up. They say, oh, it's all right, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I think it's nice that people have the courage or the innocence, I guess, to just
dive right in.
Damn the torpedoes. There's something to be said for that. I think it's great.
Yeah, and all those guys ended off walking home when they couldn't get their cars.
And they're mostly called Lefty.
But who knows? Anyway, 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Nathan from Minneapolis.
Hi, Nathan.
Nathan Detroit. How you doing?
What's up?
Well, a few days ago, I was driving around my girlfriend's car. She's out on vacation. And she left me the keys.
Oh,
what a mistake.
Well, I got in a little fender bender. I was turning a corner.
It was an incident, you mean? Yeah.
Now, here's the bad part. I don't have a license.
Oh, Nathan.
Ouch.
Oh, that is a little problem, isn't it?
What was the nature of your license revocation, if you don't mind?
Oh, no, I just never bothered to get one.
You figured, why bother, right?
Yeah, why bother?
Why bother? I have no reason to drive. My girlfriend drives me everywhere.
Is that the whole story? Is it worse than this, or did you have one of your old girlfriends in the car, too?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad. Okay.
Okay, so here's this. Now, there's some minor body damage, but that's no big deal. What the big deal is, there's this very audible thumping when I brake. It's when you start slowing down, it's like ka-thunk, 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 ka-thunk.
Yeah.
And I want to know if there's something I can do because she's going to know this. When she gets home, she's going to see.
Buy her a new stereo before she gets back. One of those 400 watts per channel jobs.
One of those big thumpers that go on the back.
And when she says, what's that noise? You say, bass drums.
Oh, so you have had the body work done.
No, it's really minor. I think I can cover it up. You know, it's a can of spray paint. It'll be all right. But yeah.
Where did you get hit?
Right in the rear end, right in the rear left.
Yeah, that's where you're going to get hit when she gets back to it.
In the rear left, someone hit you from the side, or you hit someone else?
No, from an angle in the back. I was turning, and they got me.
Obliquely?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of a jalopy is this?
Oh, this is a 87 Honda Civic.
Yeah.
All right, so you think you can doctor this thing up with some spray paint and some well-placed mud?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can disguise that. I don't think the thumping has anything to do with the accident at all.
Well, really? It might. I mean,
the wheels weren't hit, were they?
No.
You're sure of that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
How big a bump was it? Was it a pretty good whack?
No.
Oh yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I mean, if I actually had a license, I would have been yelling whiplash.
But you couldn't.
Oh, so you very sweetly said, don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
I don't sweat
and he said, let me get out of here as fast as I can. That wasn't good.
Hold the martyr bit. Go on without me. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
I mean, I think you might have done some damage to tires or wheels or something, even though you get hit from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The car did move.
But the noise only occurs when you step on the brake?
Yeah, only when
I brake. I think you have a warped disc or a warped drum, and it may have nothing whatsoever to do with the accident. But if you really want to be a good guy
and you
want to risk driving it again without a license, then you should take it down to the repair shop and have them road test it. Better still, have them pick it up at the house.
Yeah.
Have them road test it, and they'll
find out.
And won't you be a hero if your girlfriend returns and you say, gee, while you were gone, I noticed there was a little noise when I stepped on the brake, and you needed new pads and disc rotors in the front. It only cost me $200, but that's all right, hon. I took care of it.
I mean, do you think that's worth it?
Well, I don't know. Is she?
Dump it.
Well, you'll have to weigh the consequences.
Is she aware that you don't have a driver's license?
Oh, fully aware.
Fully aware. So she might question the fact that you went out driving her car
mm-hmm.
without a license. I think I'd keep it secret if I were you.
Okay.
I wouldn't let on right at this time.
Say what thumping? That's always been there.
That's always been there.
Good luck, Nathan.
But have it checked out. It could be due to the accident.
Oh, okay.
And get a license. You can mail away for them now.
Oh, really? Great.
Sure.
Happy motoring. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'm calling from Oak Park, Illinois.
Sarah with an H?
Sarah with an H.
Oak Park?
Oak Park.
Yes.
Yeah. Know it well.
Do you?
No, he's lying. He's never been to Illinois.
I spent a weekend there one night.
He was at O'Hare Airport once. And does that qualify as having visited Illinois?
I think so.
I've been in Oak Park itself.
You have?
Yes.
It's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful little town.
It is.
All right, fine. Anyway, Sarah, what's going on?
Well, I have a 1994 Grand Am. When I drive the car for 20, 25, 30 minutes or more, and the car gets warmed up and the temperature's over 200, I'll turn the car off, run into the store I need to go to, come back out, and if it's been less than 25 minutes or so, the car won't start. It'll crank, but it won't catch. And so I then sit in my car for another 20 minutes reading or just trying to pass the time, and I'll try it again, and it starts right up. I've taken it many times to my mechanic. They think I am nuts. Because they can't get it to do it.
Because they haven't driven it far enough to get it hot enough.
Yeah. That's what I tell them.
Yeah, and they can't be bothered.
Nope.
We had a puzzler that was very similar to this once. Had to do with pistachio ice cream, if you
will.
Yeah. That was the remedy.
For me or for the car?
Both.
Well, my car is actually at the shop today, so this is great timing.
It is. This is perfect.
Yes.
Well, I think you have either a bad electronic ignition module.
Okay.
Or a bad crankshaft angle sensor.
Okay.
And they're going to have to get the thing to misbehave.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to have to just replace something. But these things run into money.
Yeah.
So that's why they've been reluctant to do it, because they don't want to. You're a complainer? And if they charge you like $500 and it didn't fix it, how nuts would you get?
I would definitely have to complain about
that. That's why they sent you away.
Yeah, but you know, if it fixed it, I would be overjoyed.
No kidding. Everybody would be.
Yeah.
You know,
and does it happen almost every time that you drive for 25 minutes?
Pretty much. And it's slowly getting worse. It started about 9 months ago. And over the winter, it wasn't quite as bad because it would cool off more quickly.
Right, because whatever's wrong is heat-related. And either the ignition coils or the electronic ignition module or this crank sensor, one of those three things is developing an open circuit when it gets hot.
Okay.
And if they can't find it, then I would take the car from them and drive it for at least 20 minutes and get it good and hot and pull it right back into their shop.
Right.
And then have it die. And preferably pull it right in the middle so it, like, blocks everything.
Like their pumps, maybe.
Exactly.
So when they go to move it and it doesn't start, they'll be motivated to find out why.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you don't come back when the coffee truck is there.
I'll look out for it.
The whole world stops when the coffee truck shows up.
Okay, maybe if I had pistachio ice cream with me, it would help.
Ah, well, now you're talking.
We've always recommended to people that they bring along baked goods when they come with a difficult problem.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll try that.
Chocolate chip cookies work very well.
Okay.
See you, Sarah.
Great. Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right.
It's time to take a short break and put the finishing touches on the new Puzzler.
You mean add the last few obfuscations and unintentionally mislead everybody?
But unintentionally. Intentionally.
Intentionally mislead everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll
I like it.
We'll be back
good.
In a minute.
Was a Mississippi cop. High speed chase on the Natchez Trace. High speed chase on the Natchez Trace. Well, they were locked up in a race at a NASCAR pace. It was a high speed chase on the Natchez.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
This automotive. You said it was automotive in nature.
I did.
Yeah.
And who did this come from? Bob Gossam.
Yeah.
I'll read it as he wrote it with a few editorial comments because...
And obfuscations and whatever else is necessary to make it impossible to understand.
There you go.
That's it.
He says, some time ago, I married a woman with a Datsun B210. Remember these?
Yes, indeed.
The Honeybee, it was called. Small, noisy, and reliable, and fun. Both car and woman alike. One day, a problem. I push on the brake pedal, and it goes almost to the floor. He writes, I owned a VW where this happened all the time, so I didn't panic. I just pumped a little, and the pedal came right back. I had the brakes checked out, stem to stern, but there were no leaks, no problems with the master cylinder. The calipers in the front were fine. The wheel cylinders in the back were okay. But still, the problem persisted, but only occasionally. After much observation, I determined that it only happened after the car had been driven above 40 miles an hour for like 10 minutes or more. Around town, no problem.
Ooh.
Quick trip on the freeway? No problem. 10 minutes on the freeway, and the first time you touch the brake...
To the floor.
To the floor.
Wow.
After that, if I hit it again, the pedal would be okay, unless I continued to drive on the freeway, in which case it would reoccur at maybe 10-minute intervals or something like that. He takes it to garages. They find no problem with the brakes whatsoever. No one has a clue.
He travels the world over, seeking the truth.
Stuck calipers, thinking the brake fluid is overheating and causing the pedal to sink because of insufficient pressure in the system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good.
In every case, nada, zip, zilcho. One day, I'm having a beer with an engineer friend of mine, and I tell him about this problem. And, of course, all the gory details.
Yeah.
He asked me one question and then told me what was wrong.
I got it. No. I got it.
I'm going to give you the question.
I'm going to give you the question.
Better than that, how about the answer?
Here's the question that the engineer asked him. Is the seat bolted to the floor?
See, that would be a question that one might ask about one of your cars.
Because that would make it appear as though the pedal is...
Oh, so you step on the brake.
You step on the brake and you push yourself back into the back seat.
Oh, I got it. So as you drive for those 10 minutes, the bolts loosen up. The seat moves back, and then when you park and everything cools off, the seat...
That wasn't it.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, so you're going to tell us the question that the engineer asked?
Well, I'm going to...
You're going to tell us that?
Yeah, the question he asked is, did you buy something recently for this car?
Oh, a specific thing. Did you buy blank for this car?
He may have, but I can't tell you what that is.
Of course. No, of course.
Did you make a purchase recently for this car?
Yeah.
And his answer was,
well, yes, I did.
Yes, I did. And he said, and that allowed him to figure out the answer.
What?
Now, if you think you know the answer.
Excellent.
Well, that's, wait till you hear the answer. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a fully assembled 14 by 20 foot sunroof. Dougie, are we cashing in on any of these things? I mean, did the widescreen TV come? I think that all this stuff is coming, and Catherine and Berman are making off with it. Because I know that widescreen TV came. And I know Catherine's got it in her house.
Catherine's got it in her house, and Doug is living in the box it came in.
So anyway.
I saw him just the other day in the square with Zuzu.
If you have that 14 by 20 foot sunroom, send it to Puzzler Tower with your answer, I might add.
Yeah.
Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500.
And don't forget, you will definitely get some kind of preference when we're picking out the winner.
Yeah, because yours will be the biggest thing in the box. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to miss a 14 by 20 foot sunroom when you're reaching
fully
in
assembled.
There. Fully assembled. I mean,
none of this some assembly required.
Right, you're not gonna
if you got the one in the box, keep it.
Right, you're not going to be groping around finding someone else's postcard. You're going to just home right in on this baby. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mac 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Avital, presently of San Francisco.
Avital. Tal.
A-V-I-T-A-L?
Excellent.
And where are you from?
San Francisco.
Okay.
San Francisco. And your parents are from, let's see, don't tell us. Avital.
Middle East.
It's Middle Eastern, of course. Middle Eastern. Avital.
Chicago, right?
Ohio. Somewhere in Ohio.
Chicago's actually correct,
Is it really?
Hey, it's half right. You got half Middle East and half Chicago. You're exactly right.
No kidding.
That's cool.
Where Middle East is
Israel.
It?
That's what I figured. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
All right. Well, I have an ex-boyfriend question.
Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend is a mechanic.
These are good questions because the answer doesn't matter.
Excellent.
Right?
Well, you never know.
You never know. Yeah, okay, you got an ex-boyfriend.
Right. He's a mechanic, and he told me that if I ever absolutely have to get my oil changed at one of those quick lube, in-and-out in 10-minute places, I should ask for bottled oil, because the stuff that they have in the drum separates.
What, like Paul Newman salad dressing?
That's the image that I get in my head.
Balsamic vinaigrette?
Your ex-boyfriend, it's a good thing he's ex, because he's bogus.
Well,
come on.
Geez, I don't know. We've been selling the bulk stuff for close on to, as the Duke would say, 25 years. And I mean, not that I've ever really looked in the thing, but I don't think, if that can separate.
Well, he may know something that nobody else in the civilized or uncivilized world knows about.
Well, here's his rationale. If the stuff in the bottle separates, you end up getting all of it out of the bottle.
Exactly.
Because when you pour it in, assuming that you wait long enough, the stuff that had settled out, those special ingredients that had sunk to the bottom of the container, the spices, the oregano and all that
and
stuff.
And the vinegar. Don't forget the vinegar.
And the garlic chips there.
Yeah.
All that stuff winds up eventually in your crankcase. But if it separates out in that big tank, one of several things, if the spigot goes all the way down to the bottom.
Then you're getting all the crud.
You're getting just additives.
But in my 75 years associated with the automotive industry, I have never heard anyone say that oil separates.
Right.
And it's a very simple thing to test because you just pour some oil in a glass and watch it for a month.
Right.
I mean, assuming that what's going to happen is visible, but I'm sure, it would be simple to find out if the stuff at the bottom is different chemically from the stuff at the top.
Well, you would have to sample oil at various depths and subject that sample to mass spectrography. Right? How do you say that? You would have to
chemical analysis.
Chemical analysis.
mass spectrometry, I think that's what it's called, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this has been done 1,000 times already, and we will definitely call somebody. Like the
American Petroleum Institute.
API. And API will certainly know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess that if the stuff sat around forever and ever, then it may, in fact, separate. But one of the things about motor oil, one of the characteristics is that it holds stuff in suspension well, like dirt. So you would think that the additives that they're in the oil, the essential additives, are also held in suspension well by the oil, but it may be that they come out.
The additives are chemically bonded to the oil. They're not just floating around in there. They're not just lumps of additives.
I don't know that.
They're not like pieces of garlic in the Paul Newman balsamic vinegar vinaigrette.
They may be.
No.
But we'll...
Avital, this is a great question.
Rest assured that we will find out. I mean, as is often the case, we don't have the right answer right here.
But we have our gut feeling, and that's not worth nothing. It's worth less than nothing.
Well, I need to know. I keep going places, and people are looking at me as if I'm crazy.
Well, because you are.
Yeah.
No, your boyfriend is, though.
We'll have the
that's
answer for
guess.
You very soon.
We will post this on our website.
Great.
Thank you, Avital, for a very challenging question.
Wow.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Chicago. San Francisco, Israel. Girl's been everywhere.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
What is she running away from is what I want to know.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Craig from Emerald Isle, North Carolina.
What's up?
Well, knowing that you guys are of the highest moral and ethical character,
yeah,
I have a ethical question for you. Last year, my girlfriend's father passed away. And apparently he didn't trust banks very much because my girlfriend and her mother went to the house a few days later and lo and behold found wads of C-notes stashed everywhere, about $150,000.
Yeah.
Get out.
And, of course, it was all reported to Uncle Sam and so forth. Everything's legal.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except for the ones that were stuffed in your shoes. But that's all right.
But anyway, my future-to-be mother-in-law, out of the goodness of her heart, decided to buy me a brand-new Dodge pickup truck.
Wow.
Now, no one ever said to me that, hey, Craig, if the relationship between your daughter and yourself goes south, that you have to give the truck back.
Oh.
Well, the relationship is starting to sort of turn in that direction. And my question is to you guys, would you give the truck back? I mean, it's in my name. Legally and lawfully, it is my vehicle.
Well, I think the ladies, we don't poll the ladies in the room here. We have three women. And what would
That's
they
not
do?
That's fair.
Deborah May, would you give the truck back?
Are you kidding? Deborah May.
Deborah May says, not on your life.
This
all
is,
right?
This is the woman who, when her ex-husband said he would sleep in a cardboard box, she said, where are you going to get the cardboard box?
You should be so lucky.
You should be so lucky to have a cardboard
box. All right, so Deborah
box.
May says, over here, her dead body, would the thing go back? How about Carla? Carla says, no way, it's mine, it's in my name, I'm keeping it. Louie? Louie says she'd give it back. I know we can count on Louie.
Well, and there's another problem, too. There's also a sailboat involved.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Craig, maybe you should reconsider your relationship.
Maybe you can date her mother.
That's it.
if you could somehow wangle that, I'd say keep the truck.
That's funny.
That's good.
I could be my kid's grandfather.
You could be your own grandpa. That's right. How much was the pickup truck?
Oh.
It was around $18,000.
Cheap.
Yeah, you should have gotten. You should have got the V10. Yeah.
Well, the problem is, if I give the truck back, then I go back to my '89 Subaru.
Well, that's what you had before.
Craig, so here's what I would do. I would go to your now ex-girlfriend's mother and ask, "What do you want me to do? You were very generous. You bought me a truck, but now things are different.
Right.
And
widescreen TV, sailboat,
the sailboat.
Condo in Florida. Yeah.
Because we frequently are seduced by material things.
Yes.
And it makes you do things which are not quite morally right. And you know damn well that you don't deserve a pickup truck.
You deserve an 89 Subaru.
You deserve an 89 Subaru, which is what you had when it all started. And
you didn't sell it yet, did you?
No, I didn't sell it. No, I'm hanging on to it.
That
See,
was smart.
He knew. So I would say don't ever. My brother has even told me this many times. Don't ever decide anything purely on the basis of money.
Yeah, and don't sell your soul for $18,000.
It's not enough.
Now, you know.
Now, if it were an SL500.
Yeah. That would be a different
then
story.
Then it would be a different story, and we'd have to talk offline.
I understand.
Hey, Craig, that was a wonderful question.
I thought you guys might appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
See you later. There's no end to the number of complicated issues.
Yeah, well, it's hard to resist when somebody says, you know, you need a new pickup truck.
My mother-in-law never offered to buy me a pickup truck.
No.
She's offered me a couple
ticket.
Other things.
Yeah.
Train tickets. Get out of town.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, it's happened again. You've misappropriated, indeed, another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, cute Berman.
But they also have pumpkin lips.
Oh, pumpkin lips, yeah. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Rotterdam Glazed Ham Cam Spam Roast Slam, Fried Clam, Candy Dam, Grand Slam, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our caffeine addiction counselor is Bruno Moore. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our dope slap administrator is Dad Hertz. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. Our tolerance quality control guy, of course, is Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatu. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Hugh Jess. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the mildewed tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1517, download other migraine-inducing episodes, or check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, a great alternative to trading in your old car. You can donate it for the benefit of your very own favorite NPR station and get a tax deduction, too.
And it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah. They even pick it up.
One phone call. It's like arranging to have somebody steal it. But it's legal. I love it.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.